love the Lord, and I'm thankful by His grace to be saved, sanctified, and satisfied. To have a burden that I feel like the Lord has laid in my heart, I feel a very desperate need of His help to be able to bring it forth. Always desperate for Him, for the anointing of His Holy Spirit to give utterance, to make it profitable to us. I'd like to begin with the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. I'd like to do a little bit of reading here, if you'll bear with us. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His commandments, statutes, and His commandments which I commanded thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in a land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and shalt serve him, and shalt swear by his name. We'll stop there for right now. This is the time of the children of Israel when the Lord had looked down after was a 430 years of captivity in Egypt. Many of those years had been hard bondage. And that bondage had increased more and more. They laid more and more upon the people. And it said the Lord heard the groaning of the people. The Lord heard the burden that they were under. It was always the Lord's desire that you not be under the oppression of another man. That's not the plan that I have for you. I want you to be able to be as my people, a free people. The burden that I have, if I were to try to put a title to it, would be the heritage of freedom. I want you to be a free nation. I want you to be called after my... I have a plan. I've heard your groaning. Oh, how many nations, how many peoples throughout time have groaned under the burden of an oppressor? Under the weight of a dictator or someone that determines that you don't have the liberties that we enjoy. It's not granted unto you. You're not part of the correct class or the political class. It doesn't belong unto you. You're under our thumb. You're under our oppression. How many people have suffered, have lived under that? That's all they've known. You know how much we have to be thankful for?
Oh, yes.
As a nation?
As
a people on this a day, I'm not one to usually seek the Lord for a message that's fitting to a day, a specific day or a holiday. But I felt like the Lord gave me this burden about the freedoms that we have.
Yes.
We as a nation, we're a generation, we're a people that have grown up and this really is all we know. It's hard for us to comprehend what other people in North Korea and Cuba and China and some of these other nations, it's hard to imagine what they endure.
That's right.
It's hard to imagine the consequences of picking up a Bible and having it in my home. We take for granted so much that we have, so much that is given to us because it is our heritage.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for it. This is the period and time where the Lord had said to Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. I want to set them free. I don't want them any longer to be under the bondage of Egypt. And I want us to keep in mind as we go throughout all this, this isn't a political science discourse this morning, but I want us to realize this was a type of salvation. This was a type of Egypt. I don't want you to live your life in bondage. I don't want you to live your life under the thumb of an oppressor that tells you what you do and what you don't do. I have a better life for you.
Yes.
As a people, as a family, as a nation, I want to be able to give you your own land, your own heritage, your own inheritance.
Yes.
That you might be able to enjoy and pass down to your children. But he had some admonition for them. Mankind is a people that have to be governed. It's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. It's not within man to be able to determine, governed by his own thoughts and his own ideas, the correct course. It results in anarchy. It results in a people that resort to violence and their own devices. The children of Israel, as they were under Egypt, they were a people this generation by now. They were a people that this was all they had known. This was, they grew up under this. Their generation was raised under the Egyptian rule. Their fathers were raised under the Egyptians. Their grandfathers were raised in Egypt. They had heard the stories. No doubt that it had been passed down to them, the God of their fathers, and what it had been, and Abraham, and the promise unto him, and all. But I wonder if that seemed kind of lost upon them, whenever their burdens are laid on their back, and stripes upon them, and hardship, and oppression.
Yeah.
What does freedom mean to me when I'm in a place like this? In their generation, when that was all they had known. But a time came when the Lord said, it's enough. I've heard your cries. I want to deliver you. And so as we know the story, the Lord came in and by mighty miraculous works, the Lord showed, I am one God. I am one true omnipotent God. I am, tell the children of Israel, Moses, when you go unto him, tell him, I am the God of your fathers. I am the one that delivered Noah. I am the one that worked all the miracles that you've heard passed down. I want you to know I still rule and reign in the affairs of men, and I've come to your rescue.
Yes.
So the Lord gave deliverance by the plagues. The Lord showing by each one of them, I am greater than the gods of this world around you.
Yes.
I want to deliver and deliver through the Red Sea, as we know the story, and brought them into the place there with the promise that I've got a land for you that's flowing with milk and honey. But a people that come out from under a government, under a land, under a nation where that was all they had known. You know, the Lord had to instruct them.
Yes, he did.
As I take you out, all you've known is the Egyptian system that's around you. When you look at governing and ruling a nation of people, that's all you've seen and known. But I want to teach you. I want to instruct you. So the Lord, as he led them out, it said that he led them by a way that they knew not.
Yeah.
The Lord had many places that he wanted to instruct them. I am God.
Yeah.
Here's who I am. Here's the holy majesty and power of God. I want you to realize that. Here are my laws in this setting here. I've given you my laws. I've given you my commandments. This is what I require of you. It's not man's laws. It's not the Egyptian people saying these are the laws, but this is what I, as your God, expect and require of you. And so he told him, if you'll follow these laws, these commandments, whenever you come into the land that I'm about to deliver unto you, if you'll hearken unto it, you can be a prosperous nation.
Yes.
You can mightily increase as I intend for you to. But notice he gave a warning to them. He said, first of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Let that be the first and foremost principle guiding and governing your life.
Yes.
Teach it diligently unto your children.
Yes.
Because there will come a generation, just as it was under Egypt, there came a time when there was a generation that was all they had known was being in Egypt. There will come a generation that's not your generation that didn't see firsthand my mighty deliverance out of Egypt. They'll be born and they'll be raised having their own home, having their own place and their own land and their own nation. Teach it to your children what it means to have a heritage of freedom.
Amen.
Teach them what it means, because our tendency is to take for granted the things that we have. To take for granted the things that I'm accustomed to, that I'm blessed with. Whenever I have it, our health. So many things that I don't think about it as a matter of course. I just take it for granted. The Lord didn't want the children of Israel to take this for granted.
That's
right. Amen. So He told them, you teach your children. And then He said, you take heed unto yourselves also, lest you get into a land where, as I promised you, you'll have houses that you didn't build. You'll have vineyards that you didn't plant. All this that your own hand didn't bring you.
Right.
I'm the one that gives deliverance to you.
Right.
I am the author of freedom. We heard last night, you know, we take for granted the clause that says that our nation is founded upon all men are created equal. How many of us, we just heard the words and heard the phrase and it's just part of who we are. But so many people haven't known what that means. So many people haven't been able to enjoy the benefit of what that means. To have their government, their lives governed by that. So you take heed. Whenever you inherit something, don't take it for granted.
Yes.
Whenever you get into that place and you have all this abundance about you, take heed lest you forget the Lord your God. You know, as a nation, we're in danger of forgetting what we have.
Yes.
We're in danger of our nation, where we on today celebrate liberty, celebrate independence, we celebrate the ability to worship together in a setting like this, to be able to have the liberties to go and buy and sell and start a business and all the things that we take for granted. You know, we're in danger, our generation, of losing that. We are a generation that has inherited so much. We have inherited and had passed down to us the blessings of freedom. And what becomes as a result of that, people take it for granted. I enjoy what I have, but I don't even realize what brought it. I don't even realize the basis of it. I'd like to share with you some thoughts of a man that generally ascribed to a Scottish professor, Alexander Tytler. Said that a democracy doesn't last long. Said that there is a course and a cycle that a democracy tends to follow. He, looking down throughout history, that was the 18th century. He was said to have written this. Looking down through history, the Athenians, looking at the Roman Empire and these different ones that have tried to aspire to this idea of freedom. It's many times been called of our nation the great experiment. The great experiment in freedom. Let's see if this works. Nikita Khrushchev, the Secretary General of the Communist Party of Soviet Union or of Russia, said that history, whether you like it or not, is on our side. What you're trying, what you're experimenting doesn't last very long. And I say, well, why is that? Why do you have the skepticism towards it? It's all I've known. It works. This man wrote of the cycle that he said he had seen civilizations go through. Said that it starts with bondage, a people that are bound, a people that are under oppression. And that is, they're in that place. There's something within man that longs to be free. That longs to be able and dreams to be able to have my own home, my my own liberty, my own life that I can live. It inspires a faith. That faith brings, this is the cycle that he spoke of, bondage brings to a place of faith, and faith to a place of courage. As we, as a nation, began to look at the United Kingdom, Britain, that was taxing us, and they began to say, wait a minute, why are we so heavily taxed when we don't even have a say in the government that's being put upon us? We don't have any representation as a people. There's something better than this. There's something better that we can aspire to. And so a people gathered together, they bound together by a common hope. We want to be a free nation. You see, many people that had come here, this was their beacon of hope. This was their avenue. We want to leave the oppression that we're under. We want to leave the religious oppression. This is our hope, to go to a new land where we're a free people to worship the Lord as we choose to worship. And so these people began to aspire to this great experiment, as it's been called. We want to be a free nation that governs ourselves, that's able to have a representative government by the people, of the people, and for the people. So it inspired a courage. Patrick Henry is well recorded that he said, as for me, after a long and fiery debate of those that said maybe we should stay in this place, others saying maybe we should rise up and declare our independence, said, as for me, give me liberty or give me death. That's what it means to me. I've been under the oppression. I've seen, just trying to think from his perspective, I've seen it's not worth living in that kind of condition. I've caught the vision of something greater here, and I want it, I aspire to it, I'm willing to fight for it. And so many people did. By that courage comes liberty. Back to that cycle. With liberty comes abundance. Have we seen that in our nation? Lord, I believe, has blessed this nation, a nation that was founded on the principles of His Word without question. Despite the gainsaying and all that goes on in our secular world today, founded upon the principles of God's Word, God has blessed this nation richly. It's been a nation that for over 200 years has seen prosperity and freedom, the likes of which has seldom been seen in the history of man. But as part of this cycle, he said, now looking at the way a democracy tends to go, he said, with that abundance comes selfishness. Comes a people that begin to turn inwardly and just become consumed with their own selves. With what I can get for myself. With what I have and the abundance of possessions and goods that I own and that I can aspire to. A people that begin to get selfish. That selfishness begins to lead to a place of complacency. I have an abundance. I have much, and I get into a place that I'm lulled into complacency. That complacency goes a step further to apathy. Now I'm so numbed and dulled to what it even means to be free. I have so much, I've been lulled into a sense that I don't have what our founding fathers spoke of. That same thanksgiving and that same burning within them that I want to be free, I want to enjoy it. And now our nation, so many people, they're willing to give up little by little, freedom by freedom, liberty. Apathy, complacency. That leads to a state of dependency. Where I am dependent now, I'm dependent upon a government, I'm dependent upon a nation to be able to give to me, and that leads back in this full circle of cycle to bondage. Those aren't my words or ideas. That was the words of supposedly a Scottish history professor that had looked at nations. But you know, I see in that a pattern that our nation is following. I see in that a place that God has blessed our nation with an abundance, You know, one of the greatest dangers of our time is to get into a place of complacency, to get into a place of lethargy, a place of apathy.
Yes.
And there are so many that would try to steal it from us. So the warning went to the children of Israel. Don't let it happen to you. Pass down to the generations that follow you this same liberty that you're enjoying. Don't let it die. Don't let it stop with this generation. It's not my will, saying the Lord. It's not my will for you to go back to Egypt every generation. You don't have to go back and start all over. You don't have to go back through the wilderness. But how is that going to happen then? There's an inheritance. There's something that you're handed that your fathers didn't have. And it's a great blessing that I don't have to go back into Egypt and I don't have to go back through the wilderness and all of that. I'm given an inheritance, a heritage. But be careful that you not take it for granted. Spiritually, we're in great danger of complacency in our time, in our world today. You ask many people, what is the greatest danger that we face? Many people will tell you it's complacency. It's apathy. It's getting lulled into this sense of numbness spiritually, where the enemy would try to come in and rob from us the very things that is our heritage, the very things that the Lord says, I want you to be a free people. Galatians, the 5th chapter in the 1st verse says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith you're set free. Stand fast in it. Don't let any man take it from you. Don't allow yourself to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in it. This great experiment, as it's been called, has been put to the test. Abraham Lincoln, at the famed Gettysburg Address, said 67 years ago, upon this continent, our fathers brought forth a nation conceived in liberty. All those the principles that he espoused in about 2 minutes. Said they dedicated it, in my words now, they dedicated it, they handed it to us, and now we're in the midst of a great civil war. We're on a battlefield of that war. We've come here to dedicate, to consecrate a portion of that ground, to bury the dead. Those that have said it's far beyond our power to truly dedicate this land, but it is the lives of those that have fought here that have dedicated and consecrated it. Those who gave the last full measure of devotion. Those that it meant something to them. What our nation is. What our nation represents. That they were willing to die for it. He said then, trying to inspire a war-torn nation, it is then for us, the rather, to take, be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion. We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, the resolve is being tested, that this nation, to see whether this experiment can long endure, that any nation or government of the people, by the people, and for the people can long endure upon the earth. We're tested with that. Let us then, by the dedication, the devotion of those that have gone before us, let us set ourselves to the same cause. I want to see this go forward. I want my children to enjoy the heritage that I've enjoyed of freedom. And so dedicate yourselves to that. Let's bond together. Let's be determined. I don't want to be brought back into a place of bondage. I want to show that there is still a nation and a land that can be a free people in the midst of this world. I want to encourage us in a spiritual sense. Let's not take for granted what the Lord has given us. We have a great heritage as the people of God. We don't inherit righteousness. We don't inherit salvation. But folks, we don't have to go back and do the same things. I read about a man that was martyred because he wouldn't worship a wooden crucifix in the Dark Ages. Because he had a vision and he told him, no, what I have of my vision of Christ in my heart burns far brighter than an image of a cross I could look at. And he said, because of that, I can't bow unto that image. And he gave his life. You know, we don't know what that kind of thing really means. We don't really know what it means, how easy it is for us to take things for granted, spiritually. To take the heritage that we have for granted. Those that have, folks, we don't have to get on our knees and crawl back up the steps of penance.
Right.
To have inspired to our minds, the just shall live by faith. I don't have to go back through that. We live in a generation and a nation that rebels against authority. That scoffs at the way things have always been. We want to chart our own course. We want to be progressive. We want to start our own brand of this. Abraham Lincoln tried to inspire a nation to say, don't let these dead have died in vain. What they saw, what they had a vision of, don't let it be in vain. But you aspire to the same things for yourselves. Paul spoke of those that for the cause of the gospel, for the name of Jesus Christ, have hazarded their lives, have put their lives on the line, those that have gone before, that faced the raging lion, that faced the state, those that had to carve out where my convictions are and I stand on it, that I sought God through tears, through the face of death. Lord, what do you expect of us? It's recorded that Timothy, his life was taken in a feast of Diana. As he went, Paul had warned him, don't be ashamed of the hardships that I go through. But you be a partaker of it as well. The Lord hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy got to a place that pagan feast of Diana, and all the pagan doings and the festivities and all that went on. You know, he could have had a choice. I'm going to live and let live, as we heard last night. The push for our nation of tolerance. I'll let them do what they want to do and I'll do what I want to do. And Timothy had a vision of something greater. He had a vision of freedom. I've been set free. There's freedom for you. Shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And so he got up and he began to preach against the god Diana, goddess Diana. Began to preach against the lewdness and the things. And they began to drag him through the street and took his life. You know, the Christian people have always throughout time been a people that the world looked at and scoffed. They were a people that were very skeptical of entering into the entertainments of the world. They were a people that whenever all the masses were thronging to the amphitheater, they said, you better not go. Don't participate in those kind of things. Don't go with the course of the world that you're with. Folks, this isn't something that started with our age, with our fathers. It's not something that a group of ministers in our day came together and said, don't do this and don't partake in that and we want to create something that's different than the world. No, it's what Jesus handed down to. It's our heritage of freedom, not of bondage. But it's the things, if you know the truth, you walk in the truth, it'll set you free. Free from the bondage of sin. Free from the bondage of this world around you. Have we lost our love for freedom spiritually? Do we know still what it means? We sang several songs. I'd like to consider a few of the stanzas of the church's jubilee. The Bible is our rule of faith and Christ alone is Lord. All we are equal in His sight when we obey His word. No earthly master do we know. To man rule will not bow. The day of sects and creeds for us forevermore is past. Our blessed, oh blessed truth that broke our bands in it. We now rejoice. While in the church of God we hear our Savior's voice and gladly to His blessed will, submissive we shall be. We sang the song of prophetic truth, where it was sung by the poets, foreseen in the Spirit a time of refreshing is near, when creeds and divisions would fall to demerit and saints in sweet union appear. The song across the page, number 3, thy children are gathering home. What about the song that says a mighty reformation sweeping o'er the land? You know, we can look at songs like this and say, that was from another age. That was from, what do you mean a mighty reformation sweeping o'er the land? You know, we can be in the same danger that our nation is in, of losing an appreciation and a love for the truth. Amen. Whenever we sing these songs, does it hold meaning to us? You know, many of these were written by those that were bound in the time, the midst of confusion.
That's right.
We don't have time to get into the biblical prophecy and timeline of it, but in a time when our nation was marked by so much religious confusion, where the light didn't clearly shine, where people longed to have a group, a body of like-minded believers that worship the Lord in the purity of holiness.
Amen.
Church of God, thou spotless virgin, we sang. Church of Christ, for whom he died, thou hast known no human founder. Jesus bought thee for his bride. Sanctified by God the Father, built by Jesus Christ the Son, tempered by the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Three in One. These were men and women that got a vision.
Yes.
They were under the mist of confusion. They loved the Lord. Maybe they were trying to serve the Lord, but there was confusion that ruled on what the Bible teaches and what a holy life is, and all of those, the man rule that ruled in the church world. The things that we take for granted. A church that's not built by man. That's not founded and headed by some man. We don't have a picture hanging up of, here's our founder. Founded in 1892 or founded in this year. So much that we can take for granted. That those that were in that kind of place, that didn't have a Monarch Springs they could go to. That didn't know of a people where the truth was taught, where they could hear the message go forth and it rings true. Yes, that's truth. And it gives me freedom. There's something that answers in my soul that says that's what I long for. Instead, I hear conflicting sounds and it's confusion and I don't know the way to go. All the mists of confusion are clearing away.
Yeah.
Those that with great rejoicing, they said, I'm free from all that. I'm not part of man rule. I'm not bound by man's rules. I'm governed by the rules of God. I'm governed by freedom. Man rule no longer rules. The government of the Holy Spirit. I don't become a member now by applying to a church board. I'm born into it.
Amen.
Folks, these are things that not everyone else had the understanding of.
Right.
You see what my burden is? Those things that we've heard all of our lives. Those things that we just begin to take for granted.
Yes.
Just the way it is and don't think a whole lot of it. Many books that these brothers wrote at that time tell what the Bible teach. What this vision is that I have. They sung about it. They rejoiced in it. They've passed down to us this same heritage. Now the charge is to us. What are we going to do with it? Am I going to take it for granted? Am I going to be one of those that whenever I have houses that I didn't build, I have understanding that I didn't have to take the axe to the rock and chisel out, so to speak, for myself, that I'm able by teaching in Sunday school or Bible study, I'm able to just have it given to me. Do I then just count it lightly? The children of Israel did just that. Whenever the Lord brought them into the Canaan land and he gave it to them, it wasn't just over a course of time that another generation rose up that didn't know God, that didn't know the God of their fathers and his mighty works. They began to look to the gods of the world around them. They began to look to his government. 300 years or so later, it came to a point where it said in the time of Eli, there was no open vision among the people. They had no vision of what it means to serve God. They had lost what had been passed down to them. While their fathers that were under the oppression of Egypt said, this is what we've dreamed of. This is what we've longed to have. And so they began to say, give us a king to rule us like the other nations around us. They so lost sight of what it meant. Lord, help us that we not, the song we sometimes sing, I'm not giving up any ground. We have a cause that we're fighting for. Devil, we're not going to take any more. Not giving up any ground. You know there are those that hate freedom. There are those that hate America. There are those that at any opportunity would try to take from this nation what we have. They've tried, they've attempted. But our people so far have had a love for what we have, for our way of life, for our freedoms. They've said no. They were willing, I'm not advocating violence, not advocating going to war. But they were willing to love a cause enough to say, I'm going to lay down my life for it. I'm going to say, it means enough for me. You know, I wonder sometimes, those that gave their lives, if they could see our nation today, would they think it was in vain? Would they think of all that I gave myself for, and you're giving it up, little by little? Spoke of Nikita Khrushchev, who's also reported that he said, we can't expect America to go from democracy to communism. They said that we can assist their elected leaders in giving them small doses of socialism until they awaken one day to find they have communism. We can't get them there overnight. We're not going to be able to force upon the American people. They love their way of life. They love their individual liberties and freedoms. We can't then push this upon them. But what we can do, little by little, take a little freedom here. Introduce a little concept of socialism here. You put a fancy title around it. Call it women's rights and call it whatever you want to call it. Call it compassion and call it this. And little by little, people will begin to hand over their freedom. Yes. Until one day, over the gradual course of time, where they've given up a little here and a little bit there, they didn't hold it precious to them to be held on to. They'll awaken and they'll say, what is this? It doesn't resemble what I read about of our fathers. Right. You know, we're quickly getting there. Yeah. Our nation is quickly changing face and resemblance of what it one time was. But what about my soul? What about us?
Right.
As a family? As a congregation? As a people? Are we willing to accept little encroachments of the enemy? Are we willing to say on this line, I'll give up a little bit here. I don't understand why this is so important. I don't understand why this liberty, it's the greater good of the people seems to rule in favor, that you don't carry guns. Why would you have the liberty to carry firearms? That sort of idea. The greater good of it seems to demand it. We'll give it up, little by little. The enemy is so subtle. The enemy is trying to attack us. Folks, he doesn't appreciate one bit the Church of God.
No.
The liberties, the freedoms that are found within her. That are found by living the way of the Bible, the way of the cross, the Christian life. The enemy is trying to encroach and take little by little the ground that we've been given. The heritage that we've been handed to us. Let's thank the Lord for it. Let's be appreciative of it. Thought about the 15th chapter of Luke. I'd like to consider this before we close. Luke, the 15th chapter, story here, parable of the prodigal son. Won't read it all since I believe many of us are familiar with it. The son that came to age and said, Father, I want the portion that belongs to me. So his father divided to his sons their inheritance, and one took it, and he spoiled his living with riotous, the substance with riotous living. That's what the word prodigal means. The other son said, I'll be my mind and The way that he thought about it, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to throw it away. So he stayed and he worked with his father. He stayed in the home. He was out working in the field the day that his prodigal brother came back. And it said whenever he saw that, and he came in, no doubt, from a hard day's work, and he heard the rejoicing and then the merriment and all, and he asked about it. There was something in him that said, wait a minute, this isn't just. This isn't right. He's gone out and spoiled everything he has. And Father, you didn't kill the kid for me and have a rejoicing and all. And the father said, 28th verse, he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. I want to think about the prodigal's brother, the unprodigal son, the elder brother and his life. The father said that all that I have is thine. What do you mean I never gave you a kid? It was yours all the time. But you didn't avail yourself of it. You know, he got into a place that he began to take for granted what was his. We too can get in the same place. Our generation, our time, whenever, maybe I'm not one of those that have gone out and to sin. You know, I've heard the testimony. I spent some time down in Mexico with a young man and his wife that loved the Lord. The Lord had saved them and brought them out, and he had been endeavoring to do some work for the Lord, Brother Juan, Sister Brenda. And I listened to their testimony, and I saw the tears in their eyes. I heard them singing these songs, that some of them that we just referred to, that honestly I don't hear sung as often as they used to be sung. The church triumphant, the great jubilee. Hear him singing those in Spanish, raising his hands with tears streaming down his face. Because he told the story of what he had been under. He told the story of the confusion that he had been under. The spiritual confusion, and how when he heard the light and the God, he embraced it. And he loved it and he clung to it and he began teaching it himself. But folks, I don't have to go there to appreciate it. It seems like sometimes even in our nation, those that come from oppressed lands, immigrants, that come here, that apply, and they come to our nation with a hope of freedom. It seems like nowadays they have a greater love and appreciation for what we are than we as a nation do. They came from it. It's fresh in their minds. But I want to impress on us, there is a danger for us today that we take for granted. That we've always had. That we've always known. I haven't been out there. Folks, does Babylon still exist? Yes. As much as it ever has. I don't have to go out there to appreciate what we have. To appreciate what the Lord has given us. And we could go through so many instances. We can't for the sake of time. So many things and the teachings and the heritage that we have. The way that we sing. Why we don't have an instrument sitting here. Right. Folks, you know, we can look at those kind of things and think, well, what's the importance? What's the value? But there are those that came out of great hardship, that came out of places where people didn't worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and said, I've seen what it's like and I don't want it. Amen. Lord, help us to value, to appreciate our heritage of freedom. To say that I want to teach it, because it's not just inherent to our children. That they're going to pick it up and they're going to have the same love for it that I do. So it is that the Lord told Israel, teach it diligently. Yes. When you rise up, when you go to bed, bind it upon your hands and in all that you do. In all that you say, in the way that you approach life. Whenever your children ask you, tell them about the bondage. Tell them where you came from. Tell them why you do the things that you do. Teach your children. Oh, how much we need that kind of teaching among us today. Folks, I feel that There's a lack of it among us. We need the teaching. We need to pass it. Why do we believe the things that we believe?
Yes.
You know, there's a responsibility for the children as well. For that generation to ask the questions, to seek,
right.
to know. I want to know the God of your fathers. I want to know why you believe, why you stake your life on the line.
Right.
If only I could ask Timothy, why was it so important to not go to the feast? To not participate in all the things that the world around us participating in.
Amen.
It meant something to you. Lord, help us that we appreciate and love and stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. We not allow the enemy. We not allow the one that would want to ensnare again in bondage. Not allow him to bring us back into a place that we're captive. You
Amen.
Pray for me.